Thank you very much for coming to this seminar, and let's pray that God will use this for his glory. Temporary marquees and welcoming spaces, a new way to see church property. How can buildings serve and not shape your gospel mission? That's what we're going to be looking at. Looking at reframing the role of property in church life. Well, I'm John. I've spent a professional career in commercial real estate consultancy. I've served as an FIC church elder and a trustee across various Christian organizations. And that mix has helped me see how powerful property can be when it's shaped well for gospel good, not just legally and financially, but in a way that really advances the gospel mission that Christ has given us. And so in this seminar, I'm going to explore how churches can confidently look at strategic property decisions that serve the gospel and to help church leaders do that with clarity, creativity, and good governance. Church property can sometimes be a huge blessing, but it can be a huge drain as well on occasions. It can be a burden alongside all the other ministry responsibilities that we have. The key to undertaking a strategic review of church property is to remember that it's not the Lord of the mission, but it's the servant of it. And whilst that's stating the obvious, it's surprising how often it's the wrong way round. Church property has to be intentionally kept in its place. It needs to be in its rightful place if it's going to enable our mission to flourish. It's the same for large global organizations that I've advised on in strategy work on property. With all their sophistication, they struggle with it. So it's no surprise that churches like ours find it really overwhelming at times because of our various limitations, our committee decision-making processes, our limited resources, and our charitable status all adds a complexity to this. Our church gathering spaces are meant to signal the gospel, to facilitate Christian mission, to support the church community, and to serve the calling that Christ has given us as churches. The plan this morning is fourfold. We're going to look at a new way to see church property. Church property as a temporary marquee for Christ's Great Commission. We'll then look at church property as a welcoming and flexible space from which we showcase Christ's love to those he brings into our orbit. Then I'm going to look at a warning. When property becomes the product and what impact that can have on us. And then to finish with an invitation to reimagine with purpose. In church building work, there is an unholy trinity. Unfortunately, sometimes Christian mission is stopped because it is shaped by property. We can look to property as a bit of an identity, and sometimes it can dominate our agendas. Churches can, without knowing it, treat their buildings as part of their identity rather than as an instrument for gospel good. We sometimes forget, don't we, that the early church had no buildings, and yet under God it turned the world upside down. So in this seminar today, my aim is to help us let the Spirit of God shape our mission and our vision for the work he's entrusted to us. And then in turn, to let the mission define the marquee that we decide is best for us. I'm conscious that amongst us here, there will be a variety of churches represented. You may be in very different places to your neighbor on the property journey. Some of us will be hiring spaces. Others of us will own a base which we use during the week. Perhaps we use that as our main gathering space in times past, and now We use that as a midweek base and we hire on a Sunday. Others will have big Victorian barns with lofty roofs and high energy bills, whilst others of you might have smaller, older chapels that are not fit for purpose any longer. Maybe they're too small. And some of you may actually have modern facilities, maybe 10 years old, and yet as the Lord has blessed your work, the building is no longer enabling you to flourish. So this afternoon, my challenge is, with God's help, to say hopefully some things that will connect with you, resonate with you, and also give you some creative juices to think through a little bit outside of the box as to what small steps you could take to repurposing your property solution, whatever that currently looks like, and to take that next step in ensuring your mission has the best property solution to enable it to flourish. So first of all then, let's have a look at church property as a temporary marquee for Christ's Great Commission. The buildings we use are a visible sign of what is happening, and they are to point to something greater. A marquee is what we see from a distance sometimes. It draws attention. It invites people in. It declares that something is happening. It's a place which enables a gathering. It's a place of engagement and connection. And in the same way, church property should communicate our mission for Christ, not just through signage and architecture, but through its usage and through its posture. One big question to ask your leadership team and church family could be, what does the building we use say about us before people meet us and hear us preach the good news? Does it signal welcome, or does it signal irrelevance? Does it signal compassion and purpose, or does it signal nostalgia and exclusion? I know of a church that are looking to see what gospel opportunity there might be in their city. There's a huge area of redevelopment. Some very large student housing schemes are going up, and other private housing schemes and social housing schemes as part of a big redevelopment area. And they're thinking through, well, we have a building, but this is a great gospel opportunity. There's no church that's there that's going to be able to reach those souls that are going to be moving into that area. And so they're beginning to think outside of the box. Perhaps we need to look for another marquee to fulfill Christ's commission. So whilst the buildings we use signal what we're about, these marquees are not the show. It is to point to the message that God has entrusted to us. It's not meant to be the focus, but the facilitator of gospel work that God has called us to. So let property point beyond itself to the gospel life and hope of the church community who meet under its roof. And so my question is that what your building is doing for you? See, by viewing property as a marquee to be used for Christ's Great Commission encourages us not to be frivolous about assets that have been entrusted to us, but to see bricks and mortar as transient. See, this perspective can free us as church leadership teams and church families from being tied to nostalgic retention. Instead, it opens up the possibilities of exploring what it might look like to take a once-in-a-generation step change towards a building that's better purposed for the next phase of gospel ministry. Secondly, church property as a welcoming and flexible space. We want the buildings our churches use to be a supportive space, not a sacred monument. Sometimes I hear churches compared to hospitals for sinners rather than hotels for saints. But I don't know about you, but cold hospitals that are crowded and with the sick in corridors isn't always the best analogy. Nowhere to find refuge. A good space to grow mission is like an oasis and a refuge. To have a property that is a warm, flexible, adaptable space, capable of supporting growth, hospitality, and formation is the ideal. So, how could your building be made more capable of appealing to the community around, who may already be cynical about what we Christians do behind brick walls? For example, and some of these many churches have done, I'm not offering any inspirational wisdom in this moment, but there are various ways in which we can take small steps to repurposing churches, making them more welcoming, maybe changing big wooden doors to glazed doors, enabling visibility through into a gathering space or a meeting area. Sometimes elements of structural wall can be taken away, obviously with the right structural provision provided and then glazing added. Architects can be very creative around some of that. External lifts can be installed where stepped access is currently the only option. Secure pram parks can be provided externally. Disabled WCs, you would think most churches would have them, but not every church does. Gathering and reception areas with creative cafe-style seating can be a wonderful way of drawing people in and making them feel at home as they arrive. Removing pews if you're able to, and replacing them with flexible light chairs that can be easily stacked and moved about and create a lot more adaptability. Good spaces are, of course, also ministry tools. And tools should change when the job requires it. That takes huge courage. It takes clarity. Some other questions to ask your leadership team and church family could be, is the space flexible enough to support growth, to support creativity, and to support changing needs? Or are you using an old, blunt, and inefficient tool for gospel ministry? See, church life rarely stands still, doesn't it? New ministries emerge, communities evolve, and fresh opportunities appear that sometimes no one could have planned for, like we found post-pandemic. A healthy building should be able to flex in the moment, to serve what God is doing now, not only what he was doing when the space was first designed. Flexibility isn't just about getting movable chairs or having multi-purpose rooms. It's about having a space that can adapt as mission priorities shift. Can it host both worship and weekday community use? Can it welcome new partnerships, different age groups, different styles of ministry without too much major upheaval? See, a flexible building gives a church breathing room, the capacity to grow, to experiment, and to respond to change without being constrained by walls or layout. And particularly if those walls and layout belong to an era that has passed. In a fast-changing mission landscape, adaptability isn't a luxury. It's part of a faithful stewardship. Adaptability isn't a luxury. It's part of a faithful leadership. As churches, we know that we have been called by our Savior to make disciples. That's what we're first called to do. And we do need property solutions that will help us do that well in our context now. Is that what your current use of property facilitates? So these two are two first sections of this talk are just really helping us to think through creatively, what sort of property relationship do we have? And how are we using property for our ministries? That brings me to the warning when property becomes the product. When the marquee becomes the message and the space becomes a cage, we can suffer mission drift. Reclaiming perspective doesn't mean neglecting property. It means returning it to its rightful role as a servant of the gospel and not trying to be its master. Buildings are valuable gifts, aren't they? But they are most fruitful when they serve people and not when people serve them. So can we reframe the language we use as church leaders? Is it better to talk less about the building and more about what the building makes possible? Language shapes culture. We know that, don't we? And so a shift from a focus on maintenance to mission potential is just one example of how we can reframe our language and reimagine our relationship with property. Let us revisit the purpose. That's always a good thing to do from time to time. We do that in other aspects of church life, don't we? But to bring every property decision back to the why. How does this help us love, serve, and reach our community for Christ? If a project doesn't advance that purpose, it may need to wait, it may need to shrink, it may need to stop, and may need to be put to one side. It's good to rebalance leadership focus, to ensure that those who oversee property are also part of the wider mission conversations. Because stewardship and strategy belong in the same room. When trustees, when elders, when staff, when church family have vision sharing days, the building must stay connected to the bigger gospel story. Sometimes it's good to reconnect with our community around our buildings that we use, to invite local voices into the conversation, to listen to neighbors, partners, and users of our building, not just to confirm our decisions, but perhaps to help shape them. And so property held for mission must be understood through the lens of real people and real needs. We also need to remember who owns it. Ultimately, no church owns its property outright. We steward God's resources, don't we, for God's purposes. And that truth brings both freedom and accountability. The building is not the legacy. Changed lives are. And as we look back on what the Lord has done in previous decades, in previous centuries, as good evangelicals, we don't rejoice in the bricks and mortar, but what they facilitated in seeing real lives changed and transformed by the gospel of grace. The challenge is, and with this warning comes, that if we allow the building to become the mission instead of the base for the mission, then we can run the risk that we start preserving walls before effectively proclaiming the word. See, church buildings can be useful and practical and deeply valuable, but they are not sacred spaces. As evangelicals, we see them as a place to gather, not holy spaces for themselves. They exist to serve the mission, don't they? And from where we proclaim Christ's words of hope and showcase his love. We can sometimes run the risk of protecting property more than meeting the needs of local people. Of course, good stewardship matters, doesn't it? And maintenance and mission are not enemies of one another, but both are expressions of faithfulness. But when the care of buildings overshadows the care of people, something slips out of alignment. Property is a resource for gospel work. It is not a monument that should be defended at all cost. As part of this warning, when property takes a wrong place in our thinking, in our planning, sometimes we can use discernment language to defend sentimental attachment. Behind the language of discernment sometimes lies a deep discomfort with change. It's easy, isn't it, to cloak nostalgia in spiritual language. We say we're waiting on God, we're seeking His will, when in truth we might be struggling to let go of what feels familiar. So real discernment does demand humility. It demands courage. Being open, of course, to the Lord's leading, but not just to preserve what once was and to continue with the status quo. Our buildings carry stories, don't they, that are worth remembering and rejoicing in. But faithfulness to the past must always serve fruitfulness in the present. Faithfulness to the past and honoring what God did in the past must always serve fruitfulness in the present. The question is not whether we keep or release a property, but whether our choices help us love and serve and reach the people God has placed around us right now. And so if the building really isn't fit for purpose, could it be better to switch to meeting in a school and using the older building as a midweek ministry hub for our other activities? Or even more, dare I suggest it, could you demolish and rebuild? Or might you also look to just sell up and find another marquee that serves your mission better, either geographically or in terms of its profile and its presence? There is real danger in trying to prop up buildings that are simply not fit for purpose, trying to sharpen tools that really aren't good for the job. Often build costs do not add to asset value. And especially if the highest value of your asset is actually a cleared site. That is something really important to consider. I know one church that spent $750,000 7 years ago in repurposing its building. It was a 60s building, and they now need to sell it because God's blessed their mission and their ministries, and it just isn't fit for purpose. And the sad thing is that they didn't know the questions that they should have asked those 7 years back. They had no reason to realize that build cost doesn't add to value. Yes, it made the building a lot more usable, but now it still is, the highest value is for a cleared site. And so all of that money, yes, it was useful for a bit, but it didn't give them the runway that they needed. And because they didn't ask the right questions and were helped working out what the answers to the right questions would be, it's sad that there is money that's kind of not really being put to longer term gospel good. So does this resonate with you? What was once a marquee could have become a museum, and what was once a space has become a cage. What was once a marquee has become a museum, and what was once a space has become a cage. Fourthly, an invitation to reimagine with purpose. Please hear me well. I have no desire to make you feel guilty about some of this or to make it sound superficially easy, because it never is. The knotty problems of property are hard. I led a church building project 10 years ago, but it took us 10 years to get to the point where we built a new community facility and church building in a village in mid-Sussex. And at every step of the journey, there were issues. And even right to the very end, we thought that the project wouldn't go ahead because we were marketing it and we had two bids in for the old building that was going to give us a chunk of capital towards it. And we had a sect that were the highest bidder. And we knew that we just could not go ahead really and sell if that was going to be the only way forward. And as a charity, we knew that wouldn't be in our best interest. There were things that we could have done and documented, but it would have been challenging. My intention today is to encourage, to give you some prompts to think creatively, to ask some courageous questions, to look to the Lord to think about what might be possible. It's really daunting sometimes. It can be overwhelming. And certainly alongside all the other opportunities we have to make Jesus known, to make disciples of people from all backgrounds and ages, and to shepherding God's people to maturity in Christ. But could this be the beginning of an opportunity for you to reframe your relationship with property, to reimagine with purpose, to take a few steps back, to start to pray as a leadership team around what kind of property solution might transform your ministry? Certainly, I can say that our 10 years of hard graft and tears, actually, at times, and thinking this is just impossible. This is a mountain that's just far too beyond us to climb. In God's grace and kindness, gradually we got there. And it has just been such a blessing ever since. Could you see the current building not as a constraint, but could you see it as a place with potential to shape as a living canvas, a mission tool, and a storytelling space? What other questions could you ask your leadership team and church family? Well, what story does our space tell? How did it come about? Whilst it was a great gift in the past, what mission needs have changed? And is it time to reimagine what the ideal space could be if we were to start with a blank canvas? Who can access our building? And how does it feel to enter? What might our property look like if we were to just build from scratch? If money was no object, of course it always is. But for today's calling, what would be our ideal? I know of one church that I'm consulting at the moment. They're an amalgamation of two rural churches. They had their own buildings, traditional rural chapels, that really neither were fit for purpose. They'd done some repurposing on one of them. One of them was better than the other. They sold one of them, and I'm helping them negotiate a new site from a developer, and we're going to look to build a new facility for them. If you're reimagining, sometimes that is a challenge, but never think that anything is impossible. With the right support, we can help you work through the questions that you need to be thinking through so that you are clear in your heads about what is wise to grow your mission, what is possible, and what is worth it. When reimagining your relationship with property, It's really important to have a very clear vision of your ministry and how, by God's grace, you're looking to develop your ministry. What is your ministry model? What's your ministry philosophy? Because all of that should speak into a strategic property review. For example, are you a gathered church, or are you a local church, or are you a blend of two? What's your kind of plans around if the Lord was to grow you? Would you plant? Would you revitalize a struggling cause? Or would you want to extend? What would your ideal be by God's grace as you look carefully at your vision for ministry? Because if you're clear about your vision for ministry and your opportunities for the gospel, then that must shape the way you view property and the way you enable it to stay in its rightful place. Sometimes, of course, what can be the ideal is simply out of reach. It's not even a stretch of faith. I always say to churches that I consult with on church properties, property projects, it's always a stretch of faith, but we just got to work out what's out of reach. God gives us sanctified common sense. It's a precious gift, and there are experts as well to help. But unfortunately, as churches, sometimes we kind of get excited by possibility. Things come up. I get calls to say, we've seen a building, best bids by next Friday, can you help us? Or I've seen a building, it's coming to an auction in 10 days. What do we need to do? And then I start to ask questions around, well, what's your vision? What's your ministry philosophy? And sometimes this can be with really well-informed and articulate and able church leaders who in their heads, they kind of know what they're kind of working to, but they've not really articulated in a thorough way what their model is. So the important thing is, as you reimagine your relationship with property, is to ensure that you've done that preparatory work in ensuring you have a very clear vision for your ministry and that it's shaped by your convictions. I'm supporting a church up in the north of England at the moment. It's exciting. They've been meeting in a village hall for some time. The usual challenges of hiring space, you know, set up, set down. It's tiring. And often there aren't enough people to do that. And those that do it are the ones that are kind of like the core disciple-making team as well. So they just get exhausted by some of that stuff and aren't freed up to do the other more help, more kind of, well, to do the kind of work that God's gifted them for. Not that anything is below any of us, but everything has a part. You know, every kind of service in the Lord's work is important, but it's exhausting, isn't it, sometimes on the hiring scene. Their slogan is Church Without Walls. And they are sacrificially living their lives with all sorts in their community. But they're now seeking the need for a permanent presence, and I'm helping them negotiate on a closed Methodist church. That is fraught with challenges, particularly with a liberal circuit and the decision-making processes. Sometimes I think as evangelicals, we can sort of think, oh, liberals have got it in for us. They always want to go for best price. But the truth is that if your church was selling your building and you needed to step onto the next rung of the ladder with property, you're going to need every pound you can get. So it's not always the right way to view liberal denominations. Yes, of course, they might have prejudice towards evangelicals, but quite often they just have a genuine financial need. Often there are black holes in pension schemes in some of the denominations. So yeah, it's good to remember that. If your marquee isn't welcoming, and your gathering space isn't as useful as your mission needs, surely it's time to rethink. Church property questions don't come with easy answers. There's no magic wand. I don't have one. No simple formula. No simple formula that tells us what to keep, what to release, what to sell, what to repurpose. It's often knotty. It's often a complex cocktail of practical realities, vision and ministry philosophy, pastoral sensitivities. We do the church no favor by pretending it's straightforward. Wisdom comes to us from the Lord as we ask for it, through prayer and discussion and taking steps of faith and courage. Buildings are tied, aren't they, to memories. I'm sure all of us have memories where God has done amazing things in a place for a time. Buildings are tied to ministries. They're tied to people that we've grown to love and cherish and admire God's grace at work in their lives. And because of all of that, it makes these decisions around church property so much more complicated and difficult. To say it's complex isn't a lack of faith. It's just being honest. God's guidance often unfolds step by step. Do you find that? When you've got knotty challenges in front of you, it's not generally in a single moment of clarity. And that's why patience is needed, prayer is needed, careful process is needed. We can help you think strategically in this space. Property decisions deserve depth. They deserve faith expressed in realism and hope in a God with whom nothing is impossible. So my closing reflections today are, we're called to be stewards. We don't have to be prisoners. The early church advanced the gospel without reliance on buildings. And we now steward physical space. But we must do that not as prisoners of permanence, but as disciples who are trusting a God who has promised to give us wisdom in all areas of church leadership and gospel work. Gospel ministry today needs to be a place-based activity. Somewhere we need to meet and gather and connect and share the gospel of hope. And it's to be shaped by needs, the needs of those we're seeking to reach, the needs of our community. To be shaped by culture, to be shaped by rhythms of the neighborhood or our target audience. Much emphasis is on presence, long-term relationships, and local witness. Facilities are often embedded in the community and they serve as local hubs. I want to finish by showcasing a church that I worked with, who have stewarded the resources that God entrusted to them. And eventually, after much prayer, after a lot of grit, a lot of hard yards, God has given them the courage and the sacrificial love to make a new building project worthwhile. They did the unthinkable. They demolished and rebuilt. They had a 60s building. It was wonderfully provided by Christians in the past who helped with the construction, who helped with the financing, and some prominent grant organizations also enabled that. On a prominent site on a council estate in the south of England, close to some affluent homes as well, quite a mix really in that area. But instead of trying to repurpose the building, and what we would say in the commercial property world, trying to put lipstick on a pig, they thought outside the box, they reimagined with purpose. They didn't want the building to determine their mission in the shape of their mission. And so they decided that the time had come for them to rebuild.
Hi, I'm Pete from Binscombe Church near Guildford in Surrey. We've been planning to rebuild our church and community facility for nearly 12 years now. It's a huge step of faith, and one that's come with real challenges. Well, in 2022 and 9 years in, we'd hit a bit of a wall. We were exhausted by the process. Our church family were wondering if it was ever going to happen. And we often felt overwhelmed, balancing charitable risk, good governance, costs, and a world of construction we knew very little about. I mean, I went to Bible college to learn how to teach the Bible, not how to run a construction project. And we knew we needed help. That's when we began working with a property expert, someone who understood both the property side and the heart of our mission. They helped us shape a compelling vision with match funders, and then with our church family and our support base. We had a great building committee, but bringing in trusted property professionals helped us to not overburden them and to manage risk well. They helped us select and appoint experienced project managers who led us through the construction tender process, and this was crucial in keeping the project on track. Getting help from our church property expert with securing match funding was a game changer. We ended up raising just under £500,000, making the project possible after years of struggle to get the money together. Well, at the end of a long journey, we're really encouraged and united. And what is now so exciting is that we have a wonderful facility, a home for our church family, and a mission center to make Jesus known for years to come.
So my closing appeal is, let us let the mission of Christ that we have been given define the marquees that we use. Let us let the Spirit of God shape our thinking of how we use property for the mission of Christ. And let's do God's work, God's way, until Christ returns. Well, thank you. I'm going to just point towards a webinar that is going to be something we're arranging with the FIEC as a follow-on from today. And that's a webinar that will look at clarity, confidence, and credibility, making property decisions that grow your church mission. A strategic process for churches looking to hire, rent, or buy space that serves their mission. That's why Kingdom Bank Property Services was set up by me last year. And that's why we're putting a lot of effort into growing this service, trying to get enough momentum so that we can build a small team and so that Kingdom Bank can continue its wonderful work of helping churches grow. We at Kingdom Bank Property Services help you discover what you really need to shape your mission, plan to see what's wise, possible, and worth it, and implement projects, getting the right people in the right order, in the right sequence. I have here a QR code. If you want to use it, it will take you to our property services page. And if you scroll right to the bottom, you can register interest not only in our service, but also in this webinar. So there's a box which kind of references what you'd like to talk about. We offer a free consultation for 30 minutes for all churches, and we're very pleased to kind of just begin a conversation with you. We're not here to rack up high bills. We're here to help you work out, to take small steps towards long-term gains. So let us have a time for questions. We've got 15 minutes. As I said at the beginning, you might have sensitivities around some of your questions. You might not have talked to your church family about demolishing and rebuilding. And therefore, putting it out there might not be something you want to do publicly. So I've got some help here from Daniel. If you want to open your app and we'll see what questions come in.
So Janice has got, if you want to put your hand up as well to ask a question, we've got a roving mic, if you're happy to do that. So if you stick a hand up, she'll make her way to you. But there's a couple here that are already on. So can you say something about ways to release capital tied up in church property, church, hall, manse? Funds are tight and we're interested to see how funds can be released from these assets.
Okay. So the lending team at Kingdom Bank work closely with me. And we can put you in touch with them. If you go on our website, you go to church lending and you can fill out an inquiry form and one of the team will call you back. But certainly we can work with you using either ministry homes as collateral or church buildings as collateral. So hopefully...
So I guess the two options are you could sell some of it, or you're saying there is a way you could mortgage against it.
I mean, certainly we can work through with you what would be wise, whether to, because obviously selling the kind of family silver, you know, a lot of churches have got rid of manses and they have facilitated other things, but there are some downsides to getting rid of manses as well. You know, certainly
need to think about it.
Well, you need to think about it, but it's normally cheaper to refinance on the back of a manse or a church ministry home than for the rates for commercial property lending, gathering spaces are just a bit higher. But you know, come and talk to us, have a free consultation with us. We'd love to kind of work through what might be possible in your context, whoever's asked that.
And can you share about rules around graveyards?
Well, as a free church man, this is kind of like scary space because we don't generally have church graveyards. But certainly there are careful processes which you need to go through. I'm not an expert on it, but I can point to those who are. And I'm a transaction surveyor by specialism. So that's something that we can help you with. We can point you in the right direction of. Our model, our service, is not to be a multidisciplinary practice that has all the answers to everything. We love to work, you know, with other experts. Edward Connor are here today. They've got legal expertise in that space that is great to bring in. And, you know, but certainly other property experts as well. We, you know, that just to be clear, Kingdom Bank Property Services isn't aiming to be a multidisciplinary practice. We understand the process of building works and construction and buying sites and selling sites. And we're here to kind of help you get the right people in the right sequence.
So Kingdom Bank has got some assets which they can lend to churches. They're a bank, and that's how banks work, isn't
it?
And then
absolutely.
You repay it back. But we're gospel people. We want a freebie. So do you also know about people that do grants to support building projects, or is that sort of beyond your... remit?
Yeah, so I mean, we do have relationships with grant organizations. We don't give out lists, but you know, certainly, you know, there are a number in this space that we can point you to.
Okay, and in that, I think it was either something you said or in the film, there was a mention of match funding.
Yep,
and now as I understand that, that's where somebody offers something and says, you know, for every pound you raise, I'll give a pound. It's sort of like an incentive, isn't it? So is that where do you go to find somebody who's going to do the matching?
Right.
Like, where do they come from?
Yeah. Well, we had Kingdom Bank organized a property collaboration day recently at Oak Hill College. And we had a whole load of people from a variety of church networks. FIC were present and various others. You know, we were looking at creative ways of raising funding for this conundrum. And one of the things that we did talk about and will be an output that we've got a group coming together to look at is how can we be creative in the funding space? So, you know, that's something that we're thinking about. In terms of on that video, basically the church had got to about 1.7 million. And they needed another 500K. So I helped them bring together some sort of strategic kind of thinking around why they were doing the project they were doing, how it was going to enable them, to kind of give them credibility so that I could then take that to a number of gospel patrons who stood with us. And then we raised half of that in terms of match funders, and then they were able to go to their church family yet again and their friends and friends of friends to say, look, this is a lovely gospel opportunity to invest in. Every pound you give will be doubled. So the idea, I know that I recognize that some people aren't all, not everyone's comfortable with match funding, but it's a great and an exciting way, I think, of bringing all capacities together in that final push. You know, scrumming down, you're almost at the line, and you just really, if you've ever been in Twickenham and the crowd goes, heave, that's what you really need. You need that you're kind of struggling. These guys at Binscombe were struggling with project fatigue, and it was a great way of creatively bringing together just that final push.
Next question there.
Hi there. I'm currently serving in a church that is kind of at the other end of the property spectrum. So planted 25 years ago, has been in the same school for all of that time, starting in kind of a sick form common room, now in the main school hall, has been looking for a building, but running into kind of dead end after dead end. One of the questions that's on my mind at the moment is how to balance, I guess just looking for wisdom about how to balance investing in the buildings that you're renting in, right? Mm. So, and using week by week versus the need to save up for that opportunity that may one day come. So we're in a pretty rundown school hall, and you think, well, wouldn't it be great if we paid a bit of money out to freshen some things up? But then obviously, you know, if an opportunity does come, you've spent money that you no longer have, and you're kind of investing in something that you're actually really looking to not use long term.
Sure,
right? So
sure.
just some thoughts on that would be really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, these are knotty questions. There's no magic wand, but, you know, certainly to be planning ahead and to be thinking through what would be wise to grow our mission, what would be possible, not just financially, but, you know, there could be a variety of planning issues, legal issues. Are we set up? Is our legal structure kind of ready to receive ownership of a building? You know, that's something Edward Connor can help you with. So, and then what is worth it? So what we encourage churches to do, if you know, when they're kind of on the journey of just using space and hiring it, is to spend some time with us in a limited way, you know, to look at some of those questions so that you can be project ready, you know, and as you go through that process, you can start to see the things, the considerations that you need to think about and weigh up. You can start to get more clarity. And as I said, you know, we don't always get moments of clarity where everything falls together. But I think taking those early steps, having some time with people that have been on this road previously. So, I mean, I'm consulting a church in London that spend 100K a year on venue hire. And they're thinking through, well, it is crazy. But that, you know, it's so expensive in London. Central London. So we're looking at creatively, you know, working out, well, what could be possible? And what would our kind of budget be if something came up? Because quite often, you know, when something comes up, if you haven't worked through that preparatory stuff, you know, you're just not ready. I mean, as a teenager, I used to do Bob a Job, and I can't believe I did it because I'm not that great at DIY. But I was told by my dad, the secret is in the preparation. And it's a bit dull and it's a bit tedious. It's not very racy, but actually doing some of that preparatory work is so valuable. Even if it's in 5 years' time that you kind of get closer to having your own space.
Right, I've got one more question here that I want to get in because I think it goes to the heart of what you were talking about, which is changing the way we think about buildings. So here's the question. As a congregation, what practical steps can we take to move away from a culture that looks at our church as an idol and then celebrating we need to replace the carpet because so many people have come through the door?
What practical steps? Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it is coming back to working through our three-stage process. This isn't because we just want to sell more consultancy time. We really genuinely believe there is real value in sitting down, taking some time to clearly think through what our relationship is with property. How is it serving our mission? How is it holding us back? Because as I said, you know, maintenance and mission aren't enemies. They're, you know, strategy and all of that kind of governance, you know, they should exist together. So I think, you know, it is good to sit down and to start asking some deeper questions around, you know, how best would we shape our property solution if we had a blank canvas? So I, you know,
it's starting, isn't it, with our gospel convictions.
Absolutely.
And letting them then shape. And so, you know, this question goes to, it's deeper because it's a spiritual thing about the ethos and outlook, and isn't it? So it's not going to be like your question is going to be great, but it's going to be a bigger process. This shift that they're talking about here,
absolutely,
isn't it? That's going to take time and patience and ministry of the word and so forth to bring that shift about, isn't it?
And that's why we're beginning to. You may have heard of the Reach Conference. They're providing some excellent support for church leaders with church growth consultancy and making sure that our churches are set up with strategic governance and all that sort of thing, leadership training and variety of things. But we're looking forward to the possibility of working with them because I love coming alongside a church that has worked hard at its vision, at its ministry priorities first, before it thinks about property. Because then I can make sure that property can then fit in and serve that, rather than, oh, we've got this building, we've got to think about how we can use it best, because then that's kind of the wrong way round. Sometimes, of course, you can have a clear idea about your vision for ministry. So I was helping a church, they wanted a 450-seater auditorium. They wanted to find a site. They spent 10 grand on a report from Savills for property sites that came to them. They selected two or three that they thought could work well. But they had no idea that the first question the property agent would ask is, where are your proof of funds? And sadly, they spent money on all of that without kind of sitting down and saying, well, actually, what is our target audience, auditorium? How much would that cost to build? What size of site would that need? How much would that cost? And when I told them, when we worked through various elements of the equation, that it would be 4, 5, 6 million, they realized that that was not a stretch of faith. It was just out there, just unreachable. And so it's enabling them now to think, well, actually, we've got to come back to our ministry model. Maybe we've got to think differently. Maybe we need to plant, we need to revitalize.